I'm often asked why there are four Gospels in the Bible. And along with that, I'm asked why they appear to be different at times, or why some include certain parts and others don't. And the answer is always the same. It's so that we have a clearer and more orderly account of all the things that God had promised and that had been fulfilled, namely the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. 24 chapters in the Gospel of Luke. Luke spends the better part of the first two chapters on his purpose for writing in the first place, and the thing that had been fulfilled, which was the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now remember, as we begin, that Luke writes about Jesus as the Son of Man. In other words, he's writing to give a detailed account that Jesus was in fact human, that he was born of a human birth, a human mother. One of his purposes is to give an account that Jesus was simply just indeed born, that he was seen as a child, and that Jesus' purpose from birth was what the angel proclaimed it would be, to save his people from their sins. Now it's quite evident that God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, was clearly at work and involved in the presentation and the announcement to the world of the Savior. And how appropriate that it would be in the temple courts in Jerusalem, the city in which Jesus would later be crucified, how appropriate that the Holy Spirit would be involved in the lives of people to gift them to proclaim and announce that this baby was, in fact, the Messiah. In the last few weeks, we saw an angel of the Lord speaking to Zechariah in the temple in Jerusalem. We saw an angel of the Lord speaking to a virgin girl in Nazareth named Mary. We saw the Holy Spirit filling Elizabeth to exclaim that Mary had been blessed by God and that Mary's child was blessed by God. We saw Zechariah at the birth of his son, John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesying, praising the Lord because the Lord had done these great things. We saw that after the birth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit filled Simeon, moved him into the temple courts where he saw the baby Jesus and praised God for God's faithfulness. In our text today, we see that there was also a prophetess named Anna. Luke tells us there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Now, you have to understand this follows Luke's writing of what he said previously in verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Simeon was devout. He was righteous. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and how Simeon worked in his life. Now he's saying there was also this prophetess whose name was Anna. Now, identifying her that way would have meant something to the people of that day, because a prophet in those times was a person of God's choosing, delivering a message of God's choosing to a people of God's choosing. Sometimes that message was not at all what the people wanted to hear, and they didn't accept it. Sometimes it was, and they embraced it. So here this woman was, who Luke describes as a prophetess. She was a prophet. She was gifted by God. Luke doesn't mention what she said, because that wasn't his intent in identifying Anna. It's understood at this point that this woman had the gift of prophecy, and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And if you remember, there was great anticipation in that day that the Messiah was about to come on the scene. And many in Jerusalem were looking forward to this coming of this Messiah. When you look forward to something with anticipation, you have a lot of hope. You're looking for something with a lot of hope that it's coming. It's here. It's about to happen. Like we are with Christmas coming up next weekend. If she was a prophetess, then we know that the words that she spoke were prophecy. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter, prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what she said to the people that day there was not of her own human will. That she had been a person gifted by God and was now recognized by Luke as a prophetess that had this gift of prophecy by God. Prophecy can be a foretelling or it can be a forthtelling. It can be foretelling and foretelling something that's going to happen. We read it through the Old Testament, so much so, and how the foretelling was that a Messiah was coming. God sent His word, gave divine revelation to the prophets, who in turn told the people that God was going to send a Messiah. That's foretelling. Forthtelling is proclaiming the Messiah is here right now. That's also prophecy. It's foretelling, proclaiming that right here, right now, this is what's going on. Dr. William Baker, in his study of hermeneutics at Moody Bible Institute, says that prophecy contains the idea of divine revelation that can be in the form of preaching or prediction. And that's exactly what was going on here with Anna that day. When one studies prophecy, they find there are at times figures of speech. We read the prophecies talking about Jesus, describing Him as one like a lamb. Figures of speech in terms of a flood or a famine. When we study prophecy, we find that there are references to multiple fulfillments. In other words, the prophecy over time is fulfilled simply more than once, that it happens and maybe happens again till it reaches its final fulfillment. When you study prophecy, you also find out that there are large gaps in times of events. In other words, if you were to place a smaller mountain in front of a larger mountain in the back, you could see one part and you could see the part far off, but you couldn't see what was going in. There would be a time lapse, events going on in between the two mountains in the gap. And when you study prophecy, you find that these are all mixed in with the prophecies. But in this case, there are no figures of speech. There's no multiple fulfillments. There's no gaps in time. There's just a divine revelation through the prophetess Anna, which she spoke to the people, to those who were looking forward in hope to the redeeming of Jerusalem. You know, when you talk about those people looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, the redemption of Israel, we think of redemption in terms of being paid back, being given something, being redeemed and renewed and restored. And the nation of Israel was anxious about this to happen. They had been suffering persecution too long. They had been in bondage too long. And they were ready to be free. And this day came. This day came when Mary and Joseph carried Jesus into the temple courts, and Simeon, this righteous, devout man, filled with the Holy Spirit, comes up and praises God because there in front of him, in the flesh, is the Messiah. And Luke says there was also a prophetess, Anna, an old woman, who came when Jesus was brought in. She speaks about the child to all who were there. As the Holy Spirit had worked in so many ways through several people in this first Christmas, He was now working in and through this woman named Anna to proclaim that this baby is the one who will, in fact, redeem them and their land. The answer to the choir's question this morning, are you the one to redeem the world, is yes. And He was there. And Anna said, He's the one. Simeon said, He's the one. Praise be to God. In the same way we read about the working of the Holy Spirit on another occasion, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, people tend to think about Pentecost. It was another occasion in Jerusalem when many were gathered together. It tells us that there were these people staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from all nations under heaven, and that there was a sound, and the believers gathered there spoke in tongues as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in languages that everybody could hear. And the message that they were speaking was declaring the wonders of God in all these languages and tongues. They were declaring, forthtelling the wonders of God to all these people that gathered there. So in the same way as the Holy Spirit spoke through the men on Pentecost, He spoke through the prophet Anna to declare the wonders of God, particularly about the wonder of the birth of the Messiah. And not only was the birth of the Messiah a fulfillment of prophecy, The working of the Holy Spirit on Christmas was a fulfillment of prophecy. If you remember that Peter stood up, raised his voice and said, no, these guys aren't drunk. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is exactly what Joel was talking about when he prophesied that in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Boy, I must be old because the dreams I keep having are just incredible. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days and they'll prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heaven above. Think of the angels in the heavens above coming down. And signs on the earth below. The angels said to the shepherds, this will be a sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in cloths. So you see, the Holy Spirit was working on that first Christmas in a special way in the end times, which are between the first coming of Christ and the second advent, or the second coming of Christ. Immediately after Christ had come, the Holy Spirit was in there working, foretelling the wonders of God. As the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets for centuries, right up to the time, and including Zechariah, predicting the coming Messiah, he moved to Simeon, he spoke through Anna to validate that this was the Messiah. We've seen him in the flesh, we've seen him as a baby, we know that he has been born as God said he would. So that, as in a lot of Greek understanding of the day and wisdom of the world of that day, that Jesus was just an apparition, or that he just appeared to be divine. Luke's saying no. He was human. You could touch him. They saw him. They held him. There he was. And that's what Luke was trying to tell us, in that God the Holy Spirit gave us the proof that we needed to understand that Jesus was the Son of Man, a human, born of the Virgin Mary, to give us an orderly account of how he came into the world. And we gain a greater understanding of who a person is when we have an account of their past or their origin, what family they came from and where they were born. You folks know that. Common sense tells us that. When we meet somebody new, we want to find out about them. We say, where were they born? What family are they from? Where did they grow up? And we use that information to say, well, that explains everything. That explains why they act the way they do, doesn't it? Right? Here was Jesus, fulfilling prophecy, born of a Virgin Mary. That would explain why he does the things that he does, doesn't he? Doesn't it? Because he was a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament. And Luke wanted us to know where he came from, what his purpose was. It was important that Luke relay this information so that, as he said in chapter 1, we might know the certainty of these things. And a doctor would certainly know the importance of having witnesses to the Messiah's birth. So that later on, nobody could say, well, where did he come from? We don't even know anything about him. I just think he's a fake guy that just showed up on the scene someday and said, I'm the Messiah. No. Luke knew it was important as a doctor to write this down. And in fact, so much so that he was born of a virgin. God's gift or God's grace was so much more than just a tangible thing. It was a spiritual outpouring of proof and manifestation of praise and glorification. The working of the Holy Spirit the first Christmas wasn't just a little warm and cozy feeling. It was the burning fire of reality that God had done a wonderful thing for us. A fire that kindled in the hearts of all who witnessed and heard the good news of great joy. The Holy Spirit didn't and doesn't just work on Pentecost. He worked and works at Christmas too to declare the wonders of God. So I want to ask you this morning, is the Holy Spirit working in your life this Christmas? Maybe you say, well, I don't really think so. I can't feel Him. I can't see Him. I can't hear Him. I don't really think He's working in my life. Could it be that you're like the boy in the movie The Polar Express that couldn't hear the Christmas bell because he couldn't believe? Remember the story? It was that special Christmas when he could no longer hear the bells, when he doubted.
when he doubted.
Although he could hold the bell in his hand and observe it, as many do at Christmas, he couldn't get the full impact of the ringing until he believed by faith. And like an express train, the Holy Spirit picks us up and takes us on a ride to show us and prove to us and speak to us that Jesus is real. Pentecost is not the only time to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's at work at Christmas time all around us. In fact, the true spirit of Christmas is the Holy Spirit. He's working to remind us that Christmas is about Christ. After all, the holiday bears Christ's name. And He works each Christmas to proclaim to our hearts the wonders of God, particularly that God sent His Son by way of the pure womb of a human woman, in order that, as John says, those who receive Him, those who believe in Him, He gives, you give a gift in order that He gives the right to become the children of God. To those who believe, to those who receive, He gives the right to become the children of God. And to His children, God gives the best gift of all, and that's eternal life. May your wood stoves be warmer, your candles burn brighter, and your hearts be ablaze with the holy Christmas spirit, as He continues to remind us that Christ is the best gift of all. Let's pray. God in heaven, You didn't buy it at a store. You didn't order it online. You didn't put it on layaway. You didn't take it down off a shelf. You didn't get it out of a closet. You, before the creation of the world, according to Your good pleasure, chose that in Christ Jesus, Your Son, who has been with You forever and ever in all eternity, would come to save His people. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit comes down on us this Christmas with tongues of fire to speak to us of the true celebration and meaning of Christmas, that we might have a Pentecostal Christmas this year and remember God's gift and His grace is far exceeding the wrapping, the bows, the bills, the trees, the balls and the lights, that Jesus is truly the gift that we celebrate this year. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together as we turn to 219 and sing together. Thank you.